Okay, this is Liz interviewing Windsor on July 31st, 1980. And since I forgot a copy of the release form statement, Windsor is going to ad lib it.
I agree to the conditions of the last tape dated July 23rd, 1980. Windsor.
Right. When you say you agree to the conditions of the last tape, you mean you agree to the conditions of the release form statement of the last tape?
I didn't say that?
No.
I agree to the conditions of the release form.
Good.
The last tape.
Excellent. Okay, as I said, I thought tonight we would really concentrate on your memories of what Skip told you about the gay life in the past, and then if we have time after that, we might do some other questions, but these interviews are tiring, so if we just get that will be fine. So, I don't know, I was thinking we could start by your taking the lead in remembering what you, if there was anything on the top of your head that you thought was important about what Skip remembered, or would you prefer that I ask you questions?
No, the only thing is, Liz, when she was, she lived in Meadville, PA, so she went to the, what's the name of the college? Allegheny.
Uh-huh.
She went to Allegheny College. And while she was there, she worked in Talon's Zipper Factory.
Uh-huh.
And there were some lesbian women that worked there. And Ruth became identified with them.
What year would we be talking about?
We'd be talking about 1933.
1933. Mm-hmm. And that's when she first came to identify socially as a lesbian.
No, I think probably maybe physically or something. She and her little friend became lovers when they were in grade school,
huh,
or say adolescence. And then after the blow up with these women in the factory, the parents of the girl shipped her out of state. And Ruth had to live in the town, and her mother practically disowned, Ruth's mother more or less disowned her.
Huh.
And Ruth went to live with her Sunday school teacher.
Huh.
And then a big, it was sort of like it was a crisis in the town, in the lesbians in town and so on and so forth. And the dean of women insisted that Ruth come and live in the dorm rather than her live outside of the school community. Mm-hmm. She's a very sensitive woman. And Ruth had nothing to wear, finally, for graduation. Ruth had absolutely nothing to wear because she only had one skirt and one blouse. Or two, I think it was. She had two skirts and two blouses. So the dean of women lent her a long skirt and a blouse to wear for her graduation.
This is graduation from high school or college?
This is college.
Oh, okay. Right. And that's when she was working at the town zipper factory, too.
Mm-hmm.
For the same day. What kind of blow-up happened with her lesbians at work?
I don't know. She just, something must have, whether she was seen with them or she was associated, because the fact that she was a college kid working in the factory, she was automatically discriminated against, which is often true in a factory,
mm-hmm,
setting. And so it was very hard for her. It was hard to stay in that town, but she didn't have a choice.
Was she there on scholarship in school?
No, she was working.
Oh, so
but she used to sign out. She used to sign her mother's name and get loans for tuition, things like that. And then she won this isn't important, really. But she won a scholarship for some work she did in Baptie to graduate.
Hmm.
And she came to the university. She was accepted to the University of Buffalo Medical School.
Huh.
That would be about 1937. I think she graduated when I was born.
What kind of background did she come from?
Poor. Her mother took in washing.
Huh.
And Ruth had to raise her kid sister. And then the kid sister died when Ruth was about 14.
Yeah.
It was, so then Ruth had no one because the father had left them. And then the mother had a boyfriend at the time when her sister died, Louise. And so Ruth was a lonely girl. Very lonely girl.
But she had identified as a lesbian.
Always. And when they were doing some, someone was doing some experiments here in Buffalo with hormones or something, and she agreed to take them. And so that her hair, the hair in her arm, was about an inch and a half. That was when she was a kid.
And that was after she took the hormones that her hair and her arm became.
I imagine.
And was that the first time she came to Buffalo when she got accepted in medical school?
Mm-hmm.
And did she continue in medical school? Or?
No, she just got here and then she got TB. And so she had to, because she was not a resident here in New York State, she'd have had to pay for the hospital. So she went back to Pennsylvania and she was in the sanitarium for a year.
And then did she get cured?
Yeah, she was cured, but she always had a poor health, poor lungs. And she also was food poisoned by accident when she was a kid.
Okay. Did she tell you much about life in Pennsylvania as a lesbian?
No. I only knew of Ginny, the little schoolmate.
Uh-huh.
And then that situation with the factory.
Uh-huh. And then after she got cured, did she come back to Buffalo?
Mm-hmm.
To go to school or what?
Yeah, to go to school. And she, I don't know who said to her, but it was either a live chemist or a dead doctor. So she became a chemist. She became a biochemist.
Why did they say a live chemist or a dead doctor?
Because she had no money. She had no money to go. Like, she'd been working, like I imagine, a 40-hour week in Tallinn while she was going to school. And so she'd have had to do the same again here. And they just said it wouldn't be possible.
Right, that's true. So that's when she comes into the gay community in Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
is in 38.
And then she was then also at the hospital. She met Helen and the Betts, who were RNs. And they set up an apartment together, the three of them. And then they met Sox in the bar. And she was like a nice kid. She was probably about their age, but she identified with them. She worked at Trico. She worked at Trico. And so she moved in with them, and she wanted to become she wanted to get into a profession. So they suggested she go to an x-ray school in New York City, which she did. And now, of course, she's supervisor of x-ray in one of the major hospitals in the city.
Right. Were Helen and Betts gay?
Mm-hmm.
Are they still in the city at all?
No, they're both. Betts has died. Betts committed suicide, mm-hmm. and Helen is still alive. And she's Helen is now a med tech. Helen changed her field from nursing to med tech.
This is a totally unrelated question, but it might be related. Did you ever hear Skip talk of a woman named Jenny Klein or a Helen Walker? Because I noticed that Jenny Klein died. Her obituary was in last week's paper, and she was the head of psychiatry at one of the hospitals in Buffalo, and she didn't have any heir. She was never married or kids, and I just wondered if she might have been a lesbian. Mm. Never heard her mention.
Mm. Okay. Coming back to Helen, mm-hmm. Helen and... And Betts, Helen was bisexual. So Helen was dating a fellow who was very sunny, who was pretty high in the mafia. And so Sunny, when he would, this would be into the war now, 1939, things were scarce. But Sunny didn't bring one pair of stockings to Helen. He would bring them for socks, for Skip and Betts, or Skip. And Skip and Sonny remained friends. Helen went out west. And she had never told Sonny that she was gay. Do you want to hear about that?
Yeah.
So anyway, finally Helen went out west, and Sonny and Skip remained friends, and I met Sonny. And then Helen came back here around 1964 for a visit. And so she wanted to see Sonny. So Skip called Sonny and he met her. And then Helen went out with him that night, and then the next day she left, so we didn't get a chance to talk with her. But Sonny is married and has two kids. And when the next time he came into the laboratory, he said, well, I used to say, I'm only in love with one woman, and if my wife ever finds out, she'll kill me. He said, but now I can forget that. Because Helen had changed so much from the Helen he remembered. And then Betts and Skip were lovers, but Betts knew that she wanted to be a parent. So she left for the West Coast, and eventually she met a man and married him. And they had a little boy who was blind. And Betts and Skip used to write, not maybe once a year, but apparently she and her husband had problems, and then she committed suicide. Car. But she was a woman that Skip loved. She was the love of Skip's life, and I never felt any kind of jealousy or any of those feelings at all. I knew that Betts was the person that Ruth would ideally have liked to have stayed with, because after Betts left, Skip dated many women at the same time, which she had fun, I suppose, doing it. But apparently at some time something went wrong, because she said to me that she had once she had cheated, and it didn't feel good, so she never wanted to do it again.
How long were she and Betts together?
Probably a couple of years, 2-3 years. But they never wanted for sheets or towels, or because they would just bring them out of the hospital.
Can you remember any memories of that time period when she was with Betts about what the gay life was like?
I only know they went to the bars.
Do you know what bars they went to?
Ralph Martin's.
So it was there already by then.
Mm-hmm. And that would be in the late 30s, 30s, late 40s. 30s.
Were there any others, do you remember?
Don't know any. They used to go to some black club, but I don't know the name of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they heard Sarah Vaughan and people like that there.
At the Black Club. Mm-hmm. Hmm. That's something we'll have to find out more about. Maybe we'll find somebody who...
It was probably a straight club.
Uh-huh, but that had allowed gays in. Huh. Did she talk about it being tough to be gay then?
Skip was a closet, really, until 1975.
So it was just she was out and her friends.
She had she had taken enough knocks when she was, when she was too young to defend herself in a small town. She'd taken a lot, and she was not a crusader. She believed in herself, and she believed in other people. And I don't think if anyone had ever directly confronted her, although she would never sign her name to a love letter. It was always an initial.
In case it should be found.
Mm-hmm.
And the same when she wrote somebody a love letter, did she use their name?
Yes and no.
I suppose if there was only initial on it, it didn't matter what the name was on the letter. What kind of memories did Skip share with you about Ralph Martin's?
Well, only that, most of her older friends, I think all of her friends, she met, she probably met Helen and Helen Coast and Betts in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then she met Tessie and Liz and various other people through the bar.
Mm-hmm. And then they developed a circle of friends, right?
I suppose. I don't remember it being clannish.
Uh-huh.
Never heard of it ever being clannish. So that Skip wasn't like that either.
So Sox and her go back a long time then.
Yeah, and Sox is a little older than Skip. I think she was a year or two older.
So...
But, yeah.
What were you going to say?
Kind of
what I was going to ask you, this is jumping ahead, though. Was she and Sock still close at the time you knew Skip?
Mm-hmm.
And did they call one another?
No. Eventually, Liz, I think it was with my flirting. Eventually, we stopped seeing Socks and Liz. We'd see them maybe once a year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I told you I was always gravitating towards Liz.
Right. And you don't think that Skip phoned Socks on, you know, from work or anything like that?
No.
They just really...
They would send a birthday... They used to buy birthday presents for each other and Christmas presents, and even that we stopped doing latterly because we wouldn't see one another. And then most of our friends became... most of the people we got to know were my age, or at least friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Because I was much more aggressive about seeing people than Skip. Skip could have been happy. No, she was a sociable person. She enjoyed it.
That night that we were talking at Rosie's, you told a good story, which I think would be good to be on tape, where you explained how people got their names.
Oh, yeah. Well, Skip, that was, I didn't even, she never even said to me, well, my real name is Ruth.
Uh-huh.
And my parents were coming down to see me, or to meet her, after I told them I was coming here to live, which was probably around Christmas. And I said her name is Skip, which really, if I was out to my mother, but I'd never, Skip was the first time Skip is the only person I've ever lived with.
Uh-huh.
But introducing her to my parents as Skip was kind of weird. But the reason that they took nicknames was so they could protect their identities in the hospital or their jobs or what have you and so forth. Because if they were known in the bar as Skip, say, it wouldn't matter where you worked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. How did Skip get her nickname as Skip, do you know?
She said she got it at the hospital when she was, she opened the first laboratory for the Sisters of Charity at Emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And one time everyone was sick and she was there by herself. And someone said, okay, Skipper. She said it was a really long lab. And that's where it started there. And maybe Socks, or the Helen, again in the hospital. Helen and the vets may have picked it up and it moved mm-hmm. from there to the bar.
What kind of degree did Skip get? A master's in biochemistry?
B.S.
A B.S. in biochemistry. Yep. So how long did she have to go to school?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I know she did a graduate undergraduate at Allegheny.
Right, so she did probably didn't take that long here. And how did Socks get her nickname?
Oh, she was colorblind. She was living with them.
Uh-huh.
And and probably the pants then were what we call floods now, the style.
Uh-huh.
And everyone showed off their socks. Anyway, she would come out and they would just look at her and say socks because they knew she didn't know that she'd on a blue and a green sock. So it was just socks.
Huh. And what kind of good times did she recall in Ralph Martin's?
Being friends with Ralph and the people there, going Saturday or Friday night, Butch night.
Uh-huh, Butch night and Friday night,
uh-huh.
Huh? And how did people dress?
I don't know what you'd call a style, like baggy at the knees.
Baggy at the knees, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And did they wear jackets?
Yeah, and they would turn their collars up. They have short haircuts. The girls would have curly hair. And the girls would wear dresses.
Uh-huh. And the butchers would wear...
Mm-hmm. Pants.
Pants. And did they talk about getting dressed up at all? No, huh?
Mm-mm.
And...
Oh, Skip had a thing, though.
Yeah?
Which I am passing along. This has to go down. When you go to a bar... You always wear something very light, such as white.
Uh-huh.
Because, and it's true, in the bar, if you're wearing any other color just about, people can't see you. You fade into the woodwork. But if you're wearing white, you stand out.
So this would make it good for meeting new people? Is that the idea? Or for your friends to meet you, or what?
You just look better. You look better. So you'll seldom see me in a dark color in the bar.
Huh.
I'm always wearing a white or some yellow or light blue or something.
Had you ever seen Skip pictures of Skip at this period?
Mm-hmm. She was quite a tennis player.
She was.
When she was younger.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And we lost them in the fire. She had great legs.
Huh.
Very athletic looking. She was about 5'7".
And kind of wiry?
Mm-hmm. Apparently. She wasn't, mind you, she was 43 when I met her.
Right, right.
And
I was thinking of pictures, had you ever? Mm-hmm.
No, I just remember that one.
Of her and her tennis outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And she wore her hair short then.
Yeah.
And would she wear the same haircut to work as she would wear, would she comb her hair differently to work than?
She, no. In fact, she was saying that, little Annie Brackle was a kid that started off doing glassware. She's now a chief technologist for a pathology lab here. But Annie, when Skip used to come into work, maybe on Monday morning, and she didn't look her best, Annie would take her down in the morgue or something and set her hair.
Oh, curlers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that she'd have curly hair, and then on the weekend it would be straight.
Yeah, huh? Skip wasn't handy. She didn't know how to make curls and things. She couldn't, honest to God. She used to wear a red cap. If she would do her hair in pin curls, they were so awkward looking that she would put on a red hunting cap. It was funny. That was way at the beginning, before hairspray.
Right, the whole thing from place, mm-hmm. right. So can you think of anything that would be important to think about for the old times, let's say in the late 30s or the 40s from Ralph Martin's? Or
All I know is that there was one woman that rode the bus. She was a bus driver. Uh-huh. And she used to pull up in front of Ralph Martin's and go in and have a beer at lunchtime. Or a drink, or if she's on the route, she would just go in. Those passengers just have to wait.
Huh.
I don't know her name.
Is she still around, do you think?
I imagine.
Huh. Was she a white woman?
Mm-hmm. Huh? I never, Skip never mentioned any black woman that she knew when she was, say, at Martin's. Never heard anyone. And the only person I knew was Mary Thomas.
Uh-huh.
And Skip knew Mary Thomas. And Mary Thomas it was maybe about 5 or 10 years younger than Skip.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right.
So she's more, but Mary's always just been the sort of person that's ageless.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's been a friend of mine for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just think. Did you have any idea of what other kinds of social activities people did other than going to the bar?
Mm-mm.
Did Skip play tennis with her with lesbian friends, or would they be straight friends?
No, never heard of that. I never really heard about what she did. She was 43. Then she opened her own lab.
Mm-hmm. When did she open her own lab?
I don't know. It had to be around 42 or so. 42, 43. I think that the social life became the bar.
Uh-huh.
And she belonged to the Museum of Natural History.
Mm-hmm.
She did her own things, reading. I don't know. I know Sox was interested in photography. But I don't know what the other people were interested in.
And then as, in the 40s, then she became friends with other people like, did she know Adelaide?
Mm-hmm. Do you know Adelaide's history?
No.
Maybe you'd like to get it from Adelaide.
Yeah, I hope sometime to get it. No, I don't know Adelaide's history. But she was out in Buffalo a long time too, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is Skip Native American at all?
Mm-hmm.
I think you told me
that.
Yeah,
her grandfather was a full-blooded something. Indian.
Did she ever feel discrimination because of that?
No. But she was very helpful as a role model for Flossie, who was Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Who also had a drinking problem. Who also would get violent when she had a drinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
So Skip was a good role model for her.
Skip liked to read a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did she ever discuss reading those books about lesbians?
The Well of Loneliness and stuff?
Yeah.
No, she read them.
But it was never, it wasn't an important thing.
Thing for me to read?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
What about those novels, have you ever read any of the Bebo Brinker novels? No. And she never urged you to read them either.
Mm-mm.
Okay, let's see. Well, I'm trying to think. Do you know about this?
She was going to be named as a correspondent in a divorce case.
What's that?
A correspondent?
Uh-huh.
To respond. What do you, well, in the divorce case, if you name someone as being a correspondent,
mm-hmm.
in other words, this is the person who's taken away my wife.
Oh, I
That's
see.
A, okay.
I see.
So she was going to be named as a correspondent in a divorce case, and apparently the man's lawyer said, "How do you think you're going to feel when you get up there and say that a woman took away your wife?" So that was dropped, but the couple, I guess, divorced.
And that was in the 40s?
Somewhere, maybe the 50s.
Maybe in the
50s. Mm-hmm.
And then, did you ever get an idea from Skip at all about what bar replaced Ralph Martin's?
No, the only one I know of is Carousel.
Uh-huh. And is it your impression that the people who went to Ralph Martin's then went on to go to the Carousel?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And did you ever have any idea why Ralph Martin's closed?
No.
Mm-mm. And what kind of memories did she have of Ralph Martin himself?
Oh, he always had on a new tie.
Uh-huh.
He was always a gentleman. It was the most important thing. Handsome man.
He was always well-dressed then, is
mm-hmm.
that the idea? And did he work behind his own bar?
Mm-hmm. And also, during that time, people would be coming from servicemen would be
uh-huh.
in town.
Uh-huh.
And they would come down there.
As well?
Sure. So Ralph Martin was quite well known. I suppose if these fellows, if Buffalo was any kind of a sea, not sea town, but you know what I mean? It's a Great Lakes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be, I don't know, in the 40s whether they had boats come here. But she did mention that there were sailors there and soldiers.
And would they be gay sailors?
I guess.
Huh.
Why would they go to a gay bar?
Right. I don't know. Hmm. And did she ever mention any other bars in the 40s?
No.
Like somebody told us about Eddie Ryan's Niagara Hotel. Does that ring a bell?
Mm-mm.
Never heard of it. Well.
Marge would be the person to tell you about Ralph Martin's because she worked there. And that's where Skip met her.
So Marge met Skip there, and then they became part of a circle of friends, really.
Mm, well, Skip was already established. Marge was just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to town with some gay boys, and they were playing in, you know, bars around. And Marge would be in the chorus or whatever the heck they would do. And she got a job with Ralph. She was a kind of a little waif type.
Hmm. And she worked as a waitress?
A hostess, please.
A hostess. And what's that?
What is a hostess?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she probably looked like a fanman. She would serve drinks or show people their seat or whatever. She did serve Skip a drink one time. In fact, I think the first time she practically threw it at Skip, and Skip couldn't figure out why. But she was attracted to Skip, but she couldn't let her know that she was, so she was acting hostile.
Mm-hmm.
So she must have been very young.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's true. Well, Skip had a reputation for really helping the lesbians she knew. Is that the sense that you had?
Mm-hmm. And it didn't have to be lesbians, because it was Annie Brackle.
Mm-hmm.
At the hospital, who was just an Italian girl that came in to do glassware. She was one. And then there was two other people that were trico. One is now PhD, and the other was head of a department in the hospital. I should write them down. I'm trying to think of some men. Frankly, I'm trying to think of some men that she would have encouraged.
And what she had a good ability to encourage confidence in people and encourage people to succeed in their work,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
is that what it was?
She was vitally interested in people, and that's what they picked up. And even if one wasn't even particularly motivated, the fact that she was interested in making her sound like a saint, Liz, but I don't mean that. She really was vitally interested.
Mm-hmm.
So you might even do something just because the next time you saw her, she would say, well, did you do so-and-so? And you wouldn't want to disappoint her because she was so nice about it.
And people would get get started and start doing things.
I mean, I can kind of see that. See that that was the way she was.
And she herself was constantly on the go of doing things and studying. Did she used to help people financially too? And did people usually pay her back, or was it a gift?
Well, I don't know. I'm saying I don't know because when I first met her, she was Liz. She was people used to borrow from her all the time, and it was goodbye. It was goodbye, and then, like most of us, then when she would do it, no, I would say, oh, well, how could you do it? Like, aren't you learning a lesson? So I think she just got, like I did, and just went underground and didn't say anything.
Are there any other people that you we can think of from the lesbian community that sucks?